The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி ஸ்லோகா 200. அநாதேரபி வித்வம்சஹ ப்ராகபாவஸ்ய வீக்ஷிதஹ யத்புத்யுபாதி சம்பந்தாத் பரிகல்பிதமாத்மனி. சோ இன் தி லாஸ்ட் வெபினார் வி அவுட்லைன்ட் ஃபோர் டைப்ஸ் ஆஃப் நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ஸ் ஆர் அபாவாஸ் அக்கார்டிங் டு தர்க்கசாஸ்திரா, நேம்லி பிராகபாவ, பிரத்வம்ச அபாவ, அத்தியந்த அபாவ, அண்ட் அந்யோன்ய அபாவ. அண்ட் இன் வேதாந்தா வி டோன்ட் அக்செப்ட் திஸ் டிவிஷன் அண்ட் கேட்டகரைசேஷன். வி ஈவன் ஸ்ட்ராங்லி ரெஃப்யூட் தெம் இன் த கான்டெக்ஸ்ட் ஆஃப் ரெஃப்யூட்டிங் தர்க்கசாஸ்திர. பட் ஹியர் அவர் எய்ம் இஸ் டு வாட், ஈவன் தோ வி டோன்ட் அக்செப்ட் தேட், வி டெல் த தார்க்கிகாஸ் யூ யுவர் செல்ஃப் ஹாவ் காட் an unique category of anadi santa pragabhava. Anadi means without beginning, anadi santa means santa, so pragabhava. And if you accept, if you can accept this peculiar type of pragabhava, why do you say my concept is unique? That's what Shankara is questioning, which is also anadi santa. So I also have anadi santa, you also have anadi santa, why are you then refuting me? It is also certainly possible. This is called abhyupetya vadaha in shastra. Abhyupetya vadaha, accepting a concept of the opponent temporarily for the sake of communication. So this is allowed. So because it works for him, because he has such a concept, the opponent also has such a concept, it works for him. So Shankaracharya says anadehe api pragabhavasya vidvamsaha vikshitaha. Even though pragabhava is beginningless, the vidvamsaha, the end of the pragabhava or santatvam, is vikshitaha. Vikshitaha is accepted by or conceived by you in your own shastra, namely tarkashastra. And what is your difficulty then in accepting my concept? And then extending the same principle, Shankaracharya says, what is samsara? Buddhi upadhi sambandhat atmani jivatvam parikalpitam. So we have to supply here jivatvam in this shloka, borrowed from the next shloka. It does not come here. So we have to take it from the next shloka. So jivatvam parikalpitam. Jivatvam. Jivatvam refers to samsara, which we have already told many times earlier. Samsara, duality, mortality, finitude, division, all of them. So jivatvam is atmani parikalpitam, is falsely superimposed on oneself. Like what? Like the dream duality. Because of what? Buddhi upadhi sambandhat. Because of the vijnanamaya kosha sambandha. Because we should remember, the whole topic is what so far is only a diversion in the context of vijnanamaya kosha. Acharya was discussing vijnanamaya kosha, but he started a diversion from shloka 189, and it is good, the diversion is going to go up to 205. But our primary topic is what? Vijnanamaya kosha. So we are going to soon enter into anandamaya kosha also after this is done. But in between, Shankaracharya wants to show that the samsara is born out of the confusion between vijnanamaya or ahankara and the real atma. So he says, buddhi upadhi sambandhat. Because of the upadhi, buddhi upadhi, we have explained actually the word upadhi earlier. It is a technical word. So buddhi upadhi, the inferior I, the ahankara, because of the proximity of the inferior I, the ahankara, there is the transference of finitude. I am otherwise infinite, but the transference of finitude upon the infinite I. So jivatvam atmani parikalpitam. That is superimposed on Atma. Jivatvam is superimposed on Atma. And this parikalpitam is also like what? Prag abhavaha iva anadi santah. Like Pragabhava, as we explained in the last webinar, it is also anadi, it is also santaha. It is anadi, but endowed with an ending. What is that? Jivatvam. Jivatvam is finitude, limitation, division, duality. So, like the dream duality, therefore what? Just like Pragabhava will end, similarly, Jivatvam also will end. In the wake of what? In the wake of knowledge. How? He is going to say it in the next shloka. Shloka 201. Jivatvam na tatonyastum swarupena vilakshanaha sambandhastvatmano buddhya mithyajnana purasaraha. So in shloka 200, previous shloka, the word yat that is there, and that we have to add here in this shloka. So yat jivatvam. That jivatvam, yat jivatvam, that jivatvam or samsara, which is superimposed on the atma erroneously or falsely, is really speaking unreal. That jivatvam is unreal. And instead of using the word unreal, Shankaracharya, he is using another word to point out, for example, the snake is unreal. We say it is not really existent. We say that there is no substance called snake. In the snake rope analogy, we told in Vedanta, there is, without snake rope analogy, Vedanta uses that everywhere. So, different from the rope, there is no substance called snake, and that is another way of saying that. So, that snake is a swarupataha vilakshanaha na bhavati. It does not substantially exist. Snake does not substantially exist, different from the rope. Why? Because the substantiality of the snake belongs to what? It belongs to the rope. The substantiality of the dream belongs to whom? Belongs to the waker. The substantiality of the desk, for example, this desk belongs to what? Belongs to the wood. So the tangibility, the perceptibility, the utility of all those things of the desk, they are all fine, but they all belong to the wood only. So, vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam. We have already seen this earlier. So, they are all vacharambanam. Only they are all namarupa, name and form. Similarly, he wants to say the substantiality of matter that belongs to consciousness. Normally, what do we think? Matter is substantial and consciousness is non-substantial. That's what we normally think. Whereas Vedanta says that the only substance in creation is consciousness only. Just as the scientists, they say that matter is nothing but energy. So there is no such thing called matter at all. Energy in motion is matter. Therefore, really, the tangibility belongs to the energy, because matter is a nama for energy, it's a name for energy. Similarly, we say matter is a nama, it's a name for consciousness, and consciousness alone is the substance. Therefore, he says, tataha swarupena vilakshanaha anyaha na bhavati. The jiva is not a substance distinct from the consciousness. Jiva is only a seemingly finite entity. It does not exist separate from consciousness, which is the only substance. Consciousness is the only substantial thing. That is the only substance. Therefore, mistaken rope is snake. Mistaken consciousness is matter. Mistaken I, the Atma, is the samsari jivaha. Therefore, change the mistake, you are free. Preserve the mistake, then you continue to cry as a samsari. That's what Acharya says. Therefore, what is Vedanta? It's only a correction of a mistake. With respect to whom? With respect to oneself. Therefore, he says, Atmanaha buddhya sambandaha. The connection of Atma with buddhi.
which is another name for jivatva. We already saw that earlier, adhyasaha, superimposition or confusion. So the connection of the atma with buddhi or jivatvam is mithya jnana purasaraha, is because of mithya jnanam, false or erroneous notion or wrong understanding, mithya jnanam. So atmanaha, the higher self, buddhya, buddhya refers to the lower eye, vijnanamaya kosha. We are now dealing with vijnanamaya kosha. So this connection with the inferior eye, the duality and the jivatva, all of them, they are all what? Mithya jnana purasaraha. That is mithya jnana janyaha. Mithya jnana janyaha, they are all, is caused by error or false notion. Therefore, error being an intellectual problem, the solution also should be an intellectual solution only. So gain knowledge and be free. That is what Acharya wants to say. Shloka 202.
Vinivrittir bhavetasya samyajnanena nanyata brahmatmaikatva vijnanam samyajnanam shrutermatam.
So in the previous shloka, shloka 21, Shankaracharya said that samsara is false, is erroneously seen. And anything false will go away by what? By right knowledge. Therefore, Shankaracharya says here, tasya vinivrittihi samyajnanena bhavati. Tasya means what? Jiva bhavasya. So this is adhyasaha. So adhyasasta jiva bhavasya. So adhyasta samsarasya. So the samsara, which is the superimposed one, the mithya samsara. So mithya jnana janya parichedasya, the finitude caused by error, mithya janya, will do what? With vinivrittihi, will go away. When? Its removal, its destruction. Tasya samsarasya samyak jnanena. It is possible, destruction is possible only by samyak jnanena, by right knowledge, instantaneously. Samyak jnanena bhavati. And na anyata, this is also very, very important. Shankaracharya does not say knowledge is one of the paths to remove samsara. He says knowledge alone will remove samsara. Na anyata, not by any other method. Then the question will be what? What do you mean by samyak jnanam? He said samyak jnanena, right knowledge. What do you mean by right knowledge? What is right knowledge? Shankaracharya, he defines it here. Brahma Atma iti ekatva vijnanam. Brahma Atma iti ekatva vijnanam. So jivatma paramatma aikya vijnanam. The knowledge, the vijnanam, knowledge of the oneness, aikyam. The oneness of the jivatma and paramatma. Oneness of paramatma, the consciousness, and the jivatma, the individual. And the consciousness in the samashti, the consciousness in the individual, and the consciousness in the total, samashti. So all the other jivas in the world put together, that is seen as samashti ishvara, virat. This definition also we have seen earlier. And this virat, that is the consciousness behind all jivas in creation, which is called the paramatma. And what is jivatma? The consciousness behind the individual body. And what is right knowledge? There is only one consciousness which is behind the individual body and also behind the total or the macro. So, Brahma Atma Ekatvam. And this vijnanam, this knowledge, that there is only one limitless consciousness, and that consciousness I am. That is called samyajnanam, the right knowledge. And until this jnanam comes, there is no freedom from samsara at all. Who says so? Shankaracharya does not claim that it is his opinion. So he says, shrutehe matam. It is the teaching of the scriptures, shruti, the Upanishads. This is the matam of the astika. The difference between an astika and a nastika is what?
Astikas have understood that intellect cannot study creation and arrive at reality. Intellect means all the sciences, for example, physics, chemistry, biology, all of them. They are all intellectual sciences. They can't arrive at the reality independently. In Brahma Sutra, there is an exclusive sutra. Logic and science can never arrive at the finality of truth. Tarka cannot establish that. And therefore, we should have an additional factor to assist. Logic alone cannot establish it. So we need to have an additional factor to assist our study, which should be a non-intellectual factor. Because by intellectual factor, one cannot arrive. So we have to go through a non-intellectual factor. And what is that? That is Shastra Pramana. We don't say Shastra alone, but say Shastra assisted by logic. That is why we have got two types of logic. One is called Shastra unassisted logic or Kevala Tarka. And the other one is called Shastra assisted logic or logic assisted Shastra, whichever it is, or Samyak Tarka. So one is Kevala Tarka, only by Tarka. Tarka, that means all, no Nyaya and all that. So Samyak Tarka. And having accepted the limitation of logic, one who introduces Shastra also, not by giving up logic, but in addition to logic. Such a person, he is called an Astika. Such a person is an Astika. And for an Astika, Samyajnanam Shruter Matam. That is called Samyajnanam. That is why we gave the example actually. When I want to look at my face, for example, my own eyes are useless. Because with the help of my eyes, I can never see my face. So, my own eyes. So, if I am Astika, what should I do? My own eyes are not enough to see my eyes. I need a mirror also. And I don't feel bad to use a mirror to look at my eyes. But suppose I say, mirror alone is sufficient. That is also not correct. I should have a mirror, and in addition to the mirror, I should have eyes also. If I am a blind man, I cannot. Similarly, a person who uses intellect alone, he has got eyes but not mirror. The one who uses Shastra alone, he has got the mirror but no eyes. So the one who uses both the Shastra and intellect, he has got both. That is why it is said, Asya nasti swayam prajna shastram tasya karoti kim. Lochana abhyam vihinasya darpanaha kim karishyati. And what the mirror can do if there is no eyes. So for Astikas, the right knowledge, Samyajnanam, right knowledge is Brahma Atma Ekatva Vijnanam. That alone is called the right knowledge. Shloka 203. Tadatma Anatmano Samyake Viveke Naiva Siddhyati Tato Viveka Kartavyaha Pratyagatma Sadatmanoho. So what is the means of getting this Samyak Jnana, right knowledge, which was defined actually in the previous shloka as what? Brahma Atma Ekatva Vijnana, the oneness. So Brahma means Brahman, the infinite reality, and Atma refers to the self, the I, the higher I, and it is the knowledge that I am the infinite reality. That is the knowledge. And as even we hear, it is not acceptable to us. Because of what? According to me, I am the finite body, finite mind, and so can never claim I to be the infinite. Whenever I, as somebody asks me, my very idea regarding I should change then. Unless there is a conceptual change with respect to myself, a cognitive change, I can never make that claim at all. I am infinite. I can never make that claim. Therefore, I should question myself, who am I? And that inquiry should lead to the knowledge that I am different from my own body-mind complex. And I am the conscious principle, which is infinite reality. that knowledge should come. And even if I know I am the conscious principle and different from the body-mind complex, that is also not sufficient. Because I may take consciousness as a property of the body. Then in that case, consciousness cannot be infinite. If it is going to be a property of the body, consciousness cannot be infinite. Because consciousness will be where? Where alone the substance is, there alone the property will be. Like for example, the orange color of a cloth. Wherever the cloth is, there only orange color will be there. So not only I should know I am consciousness and different from the body, I should also know consciousness is all the properties we have learned so far. We have to remember all of them. We have told so many, when we talked about consciousness, we said so many aspects. Consciousness is not a part, is not a product or a property of the body. Consciousness is an independent entity which pervades and illumines the body. Consciousness is not limited by the periphery of the body. Consciousness survives even if the body and mind perish. And the surviving consciousness may not interact through the body, but non-interaction does not mean it is non-existent. We have to keep this definition of consciousness always in mind. I should own up that I am such a consciousness who am incidentally functioning through this body, but who is not limited by this body. I am the consciousness unconditioned by matter or not limited by matter. This knowledge is very, very important. Even some of the scientists, they say that consciousness does not come under the physical and chemical laws, the rules of physics, chemistry. Consciousness cannot be located. Consciousness is not influenced by physical and chemical activity. So consciousness is not available for scientific study. That was, who said that? Max Planck, Professor Wahl, all these people, great scientists. Thus, there are some scientists who have felt intuitively that consciousness is not subject to the physical and chemical laws and their influences. It is there, it is unexperienceable, but does not come under any study. That's what they say. Actually, Swami Vidyaranya, he gives the example. In space, there are a lot of things floating. But the space itself is not affected by whatever floats in space. Similarly, consciousness is like space. Everything happens in it, but itself is not affected by any of those happenings. That is why, you know, Acharya, he wrote in this beautiful shlokas, he wrote, asangoham, asangoham, asangoham punap. Punaha Sachidananda Rupoham Ahameva Mahamavyayaha Asangaham. I am unattached always. This knowledge is required. And what is that knowledge? I am consciousness different from the body. This is called Atma Anatma Vivekaha. And this is the first step. And once I know I am distinct, not consciousness, then I can claim the all-pervasiveness also. We have seen actually the example before. If the light shining on the hand, for example, is taken as the property of the hand, light will be then limited. The light shining on the hand is taken as the property of the hand, the light will be limited. If it is understood as a distinct entity, different from the hand, then we can learn that light is not only on the hand, but beyond the hand also. If it is understood as a distinct entity, then we can learn that light is not on the hand, but also different from beyond the hand. And you can recognize the light on the hand, but if you don't recognize it beyond the hand, we should take that out of our mind, the notion that it is part or property of hand. Light is not part of the hand. Light is not property of the hand. So the teacher has to spend most of the time in teaching the student that light is distinct. He cannot pluck the light away from the hand. It seems to be integral part of the hand. Similarly, Atma Anatma Viveka is the toughest part of Vedanta, in which I have to claim that I am the consciousness, which is distinct entity. If that is clear, then the next step is very, very easy. What is that? The limitation of the body, therefore, do not belong to me. It is not located. I am unlocated consciousness. And so I am limitless consciousness. The word limitless alone is indicated in Sanskrit by the word Brahman. When we say Brahman, it is infinite, it is limitless. So independent consciousness is first step, and the limitless consciousness is the second step in Vedanta. So when we say independent consciousness, then we use the word Atma. And when we say limitless consciousness, we use the word Brahman. So this is how the words Atma and Brahman should be understood. Atma is independent consciousness and Brahman is limitless consciousness. One cannot come to Brahman without coming to first to the Atma stage. One has to come to Atma stage first, independent consciousness first. And then one has to go to Brahman, limitless consciousness. So Shankaracharya says, Tad Siddhyati. Tad means right knowledge, defined in the previous shloka, Samyak Jnana. So that is referred to here by the pronoun Tad. So that is the first word. Then Tadatmano. That should be split as what? Tad plus Tadatman. See, Atma, see, Atman, Atmano, this Siddhyati, that takes place. The right knowledge takes place or arises Vivekena eva, only by discriminating between consciousness and body. That is the Viveka. That is the toughest. And consciousness is mostly taken as a phenomenon in matter. Consciousness is taken as a phenomenon in matter, an electrical phenomenon in brain, a neurological disturbance in the neurons. That's how they all try to interpret. These are all the different theories of consciousness. And if we define consciousness as a neurological or cellular phenomenon, then what happens? The cells die and the consciousness also will die, will be gone. This is the maximum that logic and science can arrive through experimentation and study. But Vedanta has got a totally different concept. And what is that? Consciousness is there even before the evolution of brain. The brain phenomenon can manifest consciousness, but the brain phenomenon cannot produce consciousness. That is the Vedantic teaching. Just like the hand may make the light visible, when the light falls on the hand, the light may be visible. In the absence of the hand, light was not visible. When they put the hand, the invisible light was able to manifest. The invisible light was able to manifest. And manifestation is not production. Vedanta makes it very clear. Manifestation is not production. Similarly, according to Vedanta, consciousness can be manifested by matter, brain, neurophenomenon, but cannot be produced by any of them. They want to prove it scientifically, but what we say is it is impossible. You cannot prove it scientifically. And therefore, it is a shastraic derivation. Derivation from the shastras. So what do we do? Vivekena. Vivekena means by inquiry. Which requires, any inquiry requires two things. What are those? Neither pure shastra nor pure buddhi, but buddhi plus shastra together should be used for the inquiry. This is called shastra vichara. Not an experimental scientific study it is. That is called Samyak Vivekena. Then Shastra very clearly says, consciousness is eternal. Nahi drashtuhu drishtehe viparilopo vidyate avinashitvat. The consciousness of an observer never dies. The observer may die, but the consciousness never dies. Like what? The bulb, it may go away. The light also may go away. But electricity will not. So that's what the same analogy we can use it here. So similarly, consciousness does not die. Iti samyak vivekena. With the help of shastras, discrimination should be done between what? Atma anatmanoho. Between consciousness and body, the matter. So what should you do? We should go step by step now. Samsara will go away by right knowledge. And right knowledge will come only when you discriminate between matter and spirit, or atma and anatma. So that is how the step should be. Samsara will go away by right knowledge. Okay. Right knowledge will come only when you discriminate between matter and spirit, or atma and anatma. Spirit and anatma, spirit and matter. And therefore, better start from atma anatma vivekaha. Panchakosha vivekaha. So he says tataha. Tataha means therefore. Therefore means wherefore. Since the discrimination alone produces right knowledge, therefore, vivekaha kartavyaha. Enquiry should be done between what? Pratyagatma asadatmanoho. Pratyagatma means the real self, the higher self, the higher I. And asadatmanoho, the false self or the lower self, the unreal I, the body, the mind, vijnanamaya kosha. So pure consciousness is the real I. So therefore, pratyagatma asadatmanoho madhye vivekaha kartavyaha. With the help of what? Both shastras and buddhi. Shravanam plus mananam. Shastras refers to shravanam. And buddhi, the analysis, refers to mananam. So shravanam is shastra oriented. Mananam is buddhi oriented. So both is required. Both are required. So Shankaracharya, he discusses very elaborately in the Brahma Sutra Bhashya, in the second sutra, Brahmadhyasyayataha. Very clearly, he discusses the role of Shastra and the role of Buddhi. Because the Tarkikas, the logicians, they hold on to Tarka and they don't take Shastra into account at all. And another philosopher, he called Purva Mimamsaka. This is another philosopher, Purva Mimamsaka and Uttra Mimamsaka, Purva Mimamsaka. They hold on to Shastra but not Buddhi. Shankaracharya says both are extremes. And the intelligent thing to do is what? Take the help of Shastras and use Buddhi. Like what? To see the eye, use the eye and the mirror. Therefore, Shastra Buddhi Sahayena Vivekaha Kartavyaha. Shloka 204. Jalam Pangavadatyantam Pankapaye Jalam Sputam Yatha Bhadi Tatatmapi Dosha Bhave Sputa Prabaha. Here Shankaracharya gives an example how knowledge will give clarity with respect to oneself. He says, suppose there is a reservoir of water, like lake, a pond or something like that. And the water is covered by a green moss, the algae. Now we already have this, seen this example earlier. As long as the moss is covering, one cannot see the water clearly. Whereas when the moss is removed, the water can be clearly seen. And he gave this example actually before also. And there he said, one is, for example, a person is thirsty. One does not know water is there or not because it is all covered by moss. Now he removes the moss, he finds the water, he can drink the water and the thirst will go away. Similarly, what is the water? Water is the Atma Swarupam, which removes one's thirst, the suffering, samsara. Thirst for what? Thirst for Purnatvam. I want to be full. I am lacking many things in my life. So fulfillment is lacking. So I am thirsty. And I seek that fulfillment all over. So without knowing that, thirst can be quenched by the Atma which is Purnam. But I don't drink the water now because the water is covered by the moss. Similarly, with respect to Purnatvam, what is the mask covering? My misconception or my erroneous notion about whom? About myself. Every notion is a mask. I am father, I am mother, I am husband, son, guru, sishya, manager, employee. According to Vedanta, I am not any of these at all. Then who am I?
Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham. So all these are misconceptions, confusions. Remove the mask. In the water example, we remove the mask by hand. Here it is removed by what? Not by hand, but by knowledge. Then I can quench the thirst. Aham Puranaha Shuddhaha Amaraha. Then that is the stage I gain. So he says, Jalam Pankatvat. It is like the water which is covered by Panka. Panka is the mask. Panka Apaye Jalam Sputam Bhati. When the mass is removed, panka apaye sputam badi, jalam shines. The jalam shines when it is removed. Tatha, in the same way, dosha abhave, when the doshas, defects, when they are all removed, what are the defects here actually? Defects are ignorance and error. That is why Shankaracharya, he begins Brahma Sutra Bhashya with what? With Adhyasa Bhashya. Adhyasa, the error is the mass. So the whole Vedanta starts with mass. Adhyasa, that is the error. First the mass has to be recognized, error has to be recognized. Then only it can be removed. Imagine, for example, a person walks through that. He wants, it is all covered. The water is covered by mass and he thinks that there is no water at all underneath. He walks on that. Not only thirst will not go, he will drown also. Therefore, the teacher has to take pains to show the mass first, the erroneous notion first, the error first, and dosha abhave. When the errors, the mass are removed, atma api sputa prabha bhavati. Atma also becomes very clear. It shines. It is clearly wound up. That warning, that is called shining. Here, warning up is called shining. So, sputam prabha isya saha. Shloka 205.
Asan nivrittau tu sadatmana sputam pratitiretasya bhavet praticaha tato nirasa karaniya eva sadatmana sattvaha madivastunaha.
So the example given before, that is further clarified by connecting to our main topic. You know, if you remember, one has to remove actually the mass in the previous example. Similarly, in the case of the individual, asat nivritti has to be done. Asat, asat means what? The false I, the physical I, the emotional I, the pranic I, intellectual I, ignorant I. Each kosha brings out a false I in me. That is called asat. When I say, I am fat, I am lean, I am tall, then I have got a physical I born out of the mistake centered on the physical body, annamaya kosha. Similarly, pranamaya kosha leads to another false I, which is the pranic I, which says, I am hungry, I am thirsty, I am weak. They are all from the pranic I, false I. Similarly, manomaya kosha, that leads to an emotional false I. I am upset, I am angry, I am ragi, I am dveshi. Then the vijnanamaya kosha, that leads to an intellectual false I. I am engineer, I am doctor, I am professor, all that. And the final one is what? I am ignorant. I was unconscious. When he is alive without any personality, that sleeping I, in deep sleep, I have no personality. That sleeping I, that is the fifth false I called Anandamaya Kosha. We are going to see it next. So each kosha is called a kosha because it covers the real I by lending itself as a cause of mistake, error. So whatever mistake, whatever causes the mistake, that is called a kosha. Very, very easy to remember. Cause of a mistake is kosha. And that is called here asadatma. So in Shloka 203 also, the word asadatma means false I. So we have to be very, very careful here actually. We are not interested in removing the physical body. We are only interested in removing the false I generated by the body. A jnani also knows the physical body. He also enjoys the physical body.
But in his case, the body is incapable of producing the wrong false I. He does not have a physical I. For the sake of transaction with the world, he may say, I am 50 years, 60 years old, I am traveling, I am fat, lean, all that he might say for the sake of transaction. Thus, he has got a functional physical I, but he has got the knowledge that the physical I is only an incidental physical I. So, the jnani knows the false I as false I, whereas the ajnani thinks false I as the real I. So, we are not interested in removing the koshas, but in removing the false I generated by the kosha. Whatever may be the kosha, annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnana, any kosha. That is what is called asadatma. So, asad nivruttav satyam. When the false I is removed, what happens? The second line. Etasya praticaha pratitihi pratitihi bhavati bhavet. Etasya praticaha pratiti bhavati. Bhavete. The pratyagatma, that is the I as the conscious being, pratyagatma, becomes more and more clear to me. Pratichaha. Pratichaha refers to pratyagatmanaha, the conscious being, the conscious self. Pratichaha. Pratichaha. And pratitihi means the knowledge. Knowledge is awareness, the recognition. So, sputam bhavet will become very clear. Therefore, the conscious being is expressed actually by two words here, I and am. The word I, that indicates consciousness. How do you know? How do we say the word I indicates consciousness? Only conscious beings can use the word I. The desk is not going to say, I am a desk. Nor the pen will say, I am a pen. Nor the computer will say, I am a computer. The I thought can arise only in conscious beings. So the word I represents the chit-tattva. And the word am represents the sat principle. Sat principle is the existence principle. Awareness principle and existence principle. Therefore, I am means what? Consciousness and existence both. This is the intrinsic nature of all of us. Awareness, existence. And whatever we add later, that is all incidental. I am, that alone is true. All others are all incidental. I am is my nature. False, all others added to that, they are all false, erroneous features caused by one of the pancha koshas. Whether it is annamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, any of them. For example, I am father means what? Physical I has come. Because father-child is from the standpoint of you as what? Of the body. Thus, had any expression, it belongs to either annamaya kosha, pranamaya, manomaya, whatever. And if the false eyes are removed, what will be left out? Only I am. And this I am is common to all the people. If you ask, who are you? One will start with, I am. That is the common factor. And what is that I am? That is Satchidatma. Am is equal to Sat. And I is equal to Chit, awareness. Sat is existence. Therefore, Shankaracharya says here, Praticaha Pratitihi. The I as the Sat Chit Tattvam. Sat Chit Tattvam means existence, awareness principle becomes very clear as what? Sadatma. Sadatmana, Sadatma as the existence, the conscious principle. And that removal of the false I alone, that is indicated by the word Brahma. Because every adjective that I add, subjective complement in grammar actually. So, I am is subject. And whatever you add, father, mother, husband, employee, etc., they are all called subjective complement. So, every subjective complement limits me, makes me finite. When I have removed every subjective complement and remains as I am only, then what happens? The subjective complement caused limitations, they are gone. And what is left out? The limitless limitlessness alone is left out. I am. That alone is left out. Consciousness, existence alone, the Chidatma. And limitlessness is not another feature or adjective. But freedom from all adjectives is limitlessness. Freedom from all kinds of adjectives. That is why in Advaita, when we use the word Nirguna, the Visishtadvaitins, they raise a question. Your Brahman also has got quality. What is that? Nirguna is the quality. But we say Nirguna is not another quality, but it is only freedom from all qualities, attributes. And that is here said as what? Sadatmanaha. As the limitless I. Sputam bhavet. The Atma I am understood clearly. So that's what. So tataha. Therefore, to attain this status, tataha, nirashaha, karaniya eva. So one has to segregate, one has to separate. What from what they have to separate? That is said in the, actually the fourth line. Ahamadi vastunaha nirashaha karaniyaha. Ahamadi vastunaha. Should be separated. Ahamadi vastu means what? Vijnanamayadi koshaha. Aham represents ahankara. Ahankara represents vijnanamaya kosha, adi, adi padad, the other koshas, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, they are indicated. And also the would be anandamaya kosha, we have not seen that yet, but that also is included. So all these vastus, here vastu means what? False superimpositions, that's called vastu. Nirashaha karaniyaha. Will have to be negated. All of them have to be negated. From where? Sadatmanaha. From the real I, which is pure consciousness and existence. So from the real I, which is pure consciousness and existence, one has to negate purely in terms of what? Understanding. There is no physical job whatsoever. Nothing is involved. It is only knowing. Like even while seeing the movie, for example, I separate the characters from the screen and understand screen is ever free from all the characters and villains and all the happenings happening on the screen. I don't have to do anything. The only change required is what? My buddhi. That whatever happens in the movie, screen is asangaha. Screen is not affected at all. Similarly, I, the pure consciousness, am ever asangaha, asangoham. And this has to be done so thoroughly. In fact, the entire Vedanta is for the clarity of this understanding. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all are meant for this only. And therefore, Shankaracharya, he adds the word sadhu. Completely, thoroughly, doubtlessly, convincingly. This separation has to be done because this is the only job that is required to be done. All other jobs are all incidental. That is why Shankaracharya, he emphasized the word nirashaha karaniyaha eva sadhu. Thoroughly, that is how it should be done. Shloka 206.
Ato nayam paratma syat vijnanamaya shabda bhagam. Vikaritva jadatvacha parichinnatva hetutaha drishyatvat vyabhicharitvat nanityo nitya ishyate.
So after a long diversion, that is now Shankaracharya, he joins the main road. He was going through all the bypass road and all that thing. So from shloka 185, we are dealing with the Vijnanamaya Kosha topic as I told earlier. But he made a diversion from shloka 189 up to the last shloka 205. So we have to read the shloka 206 after shloka 188 actually. 189-205 is a diversion. So in 188, Shankaracharya, he talked about Vijnanamaya Kosha. And now in this shloka, he comes back to Vijnanamaya Kosha itself, concluding that topic. And in this conclusion, Shankaracharya says that this Vijnanamaya Kosha also is not Atma, as he did with the other previous koshas. That is, my intellectual personality, that is the Vijnanamaya Kosha, is also an incidental personality only. It is not the real I, the Atma. That is why we give the example of Sushupti. where I am, but all my intellectual features are shed. I am there, that's it. And whatever feature is subject to arrival and departure, it is not my intrinsic nature. My emotional, intellectual personality, they are all not in sleep. They are subject to arrival and departure. And so are they not me. So Shankaracharya, he wants to give more reasons in support of that. They are all arrival, subject to arrival and departure. So they are not my real Swarupa. So he says, Ataha, I am Vijnanamaya Shabdabhake Paratmanasyat. Ataha again, therefore. That means what? Because of the following reasons, I am Vijnanamaya Shabdabhak. Vijnanamaya Koshaha is Paratma Nasyat, is also not the real I, Nasyat, Paratma. And here we have to incidentally note the word Vijnanamaya Kosha, that will become relevant only for a Jnani actually. If you have to really understand that, the word Vijnanamaya Kosha is really only for a Jnani. Because Koshaka means what? External dress, a sheet or a covering. That's what we defined earlier. Who will say Vijnanamaya Kosha is only a covering? Who will say? Only the Jnani who knows that I am not Vijnanamaya, so he alone will look upon Vijnanamaya as a residence. Because he knows very well the residence is different from him. Like looking at the body as another residence, as a tenement, as an abode. Who will say the body is only a tenement? Only those who know that I am different from the body. Only those people alone can say I am different from the body and body is a house. They all only will say. So, but for an Ajnani, body is not an abode, body is not a residence, but it is himself. Because he will say, I am born on such and such a date, I am fat, I am lean, I am tall. So, for an Ajnani, Annamaya is not a kosha, but his Atma. So, is Pranamaya Kosha also is Atma for him? Manomaya also is Atma. So, that is why in Taittiriya Upanishad, it says what it says. Anyontara Atma Manomayaha. Anyontara Atma Vijnanamayaha. All that. So, the Upanishad says, for an ignorant person, for an Ajnani, Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, they are all Atma. But, by Jnanam, I reduce Annamaya to a Kosha. Jnanamaya, Jnanam is nothing but Annamaya Atma into Annamaya Kosha. Pranamaya Atma into Pranamaya Kosha. So in the very conversion, they are all reduced to what? External dress as it were. And if all these five koshas, I should be someone wearing these koshas. The wearer of the kosha is different from the own koshas, the own dress. Remember, the very word kosha is relevant only for a jnani, as I said earlier, not for an ajnani. And why Vijnanamaya is not myself? Because of the following reason again. The first reason is what? It is vikaritvat. This Vakas says, vikaritvat. The intellectual personality is subject to vikaras. Vikaras means change, modification. Whereas who am I? I am the one who is aware of the changing personality, who is the witness of the changing personality. So the knower or the witness of the changes must not change. And also because of the Shruti's explanation of Atma as Nirvikaraha. Because Shruti also says Atma is Nirvikaraha. So we don't go only by logic. Logic alone throughout all the time, we don't go by that. Logic and scripture. They should go both hand in hand. Remember the example of the eyes with eye and mirror. So we never claim that our conclusions are purely logical. Vedanta, we never claim that they are purely only logical. Upanishad says, Naisha Tarkena Matirapaneya. We already saw that in Kathopanishad. It has got Shruti based logic. Shruti assisted logic. Then jadatvacha, so vikaritvat number one. Then jadatvacha, vijnanamaya is jadam. Because mind is the product of the five subtle elements. And so the elements are jadam and so mind also is jadam, inert.
And if you scientifically study also, the brain is only a jada vastu, and it cannot have sentiency. Then the third one is what? Parichinnatva hetutaha. Mind or intellect is limited, and atma is limitless. Both supported again by logic as well as shastra. Scriptures point out atma is limitless. In fact, the very word atma, infinite, it means infinite. It is derived from the root up, to pervade. Apnoti iti atma up. So limitless. In addition to that, the shastra says it is limitless. Nityaha sarvagataha sthanuhu achalokyam sanatanaha. Gita, Bhagavad Gita says that. Not only that, logic also proves that. How it proves? If limitation is my intrinsic nature, I would have experienced limitation all the time. But the very fact, during sushupti, during sleep, when mental activities are all suspended, I don't experience any limitation at all, indicating limitlessness is my nature. And limitation is something superimposed when the mental activities, they begin. One may have another question perhaps. So I experience limitation also. I experience limitlessness also, because limitation I experience during waking stage, and limitlessness I experience during sushupti. And one should be intrinsic and the other should be incidental. That is okay. But why do you then say that limitlessness is intrinsic and limitation is incidental? It could be the other way. Why not the other way around? Shankaracharya, he raises this question in Taittiriya Bhashya. He doesn't leave that also. He raises this question. He says, whatever is effortless, that should be intrinsic. To enjoy a natural state, effort is not required. Whatever comes out of effort, that is incidental. For example, like water, if you take water, to continue in the liquid state, now, in room temperature, we don't have to do anything. Water will be as is. So, the liquid state of water in room temperature is intrinsic. Suppose you want hot water or ice water, then you have to put forth some effort. You have to either freeze the water or you have to heat the water. So, whatever is brought about by an external condition, that is called sopadikam. And whatever is sopadikam is incidental. Sopadikam means along with upadi and condition. And whatever is nirupadikam is intrinsic. In sleep, what effort do I put forth? In fact, dropping all effort is sleep without putting anything, even thoughts. If you put all of them to sleep for you to sleep. So when I drop all efforts, what is my condition? I am limitless. To feel limited, the mind has to take to activity. And so the logic is limitlessness is intrinsic. And remember, it is supported by all the time, again by Shruti also. We have to be very careful. Shruti also reveals that I am Purnaha. So Vijnanamaya is Parichinnaha, limited, and therefore not me. It cannot be me. Then Drishyatvat, all my intellectual features are objects of my experience. All the intellectual features are all objects of my experience. They are all known by me. Therefore, they are the objects, whereas I am the awarer of my knowledge, awarer of my ignorance, awarer of my doubts, awarer of my confusions. They are all states known by me. They are all those states I know. They are not myself. They are subject to arrival and departure. Confusion was yesterday. Today I am clear. Arrival and departure. So, drishyatvat, being an object of experience. Then, vyabhicharitvat, being subject to arrival and departure. Vyabhichara swarupam means what? Not consistently present. Subject to arrival and departure. Previously also we used the word vikaritvat. Now we are using the word vyabhicharitvat. Both are very similar with only a slight difference, subtle difference they make. Vikaritvat means the Vijnanamaya Kosha, even during its presence, is subject to change. Vikaritvat. That is, it exists continuously, but during its continuous existence, it is subject to change. throughout the jagrat avastha, my intellect changes. I think of so many things, so many thoughts come, so many things happen. I keep learning. That is called vikaritvam. But vyabhicharitvam, that means what? Vijnanamaya kosha as a whole disappears. As a whole it disappears in sushupti. The intellectual personality as a whole disappears in deep sleep. And again appears in waking. That is called vyabhicharitvam. So vikaritvam. So vikaritvat. So what are all the reasons now? Vikaritvat, vikaritvat, jadatvat, parichinnatvat, drishyatvat, vibhicharitvat. Five reasons. Suppose if a person says, still he is not convinced. Shankaracharya gave all five reasons. But still if a person is not convinced, Shankaracharya will say, wish you all the best. Therefore he says, anityaha na nityaha ishyate. How do we split the word? Na nityo nityaha, anityaha. Vijnanamayaha nityaha atma na ishyate na bhavati. The impermanent vijnanamaya cannot become permanent atma. That is the conclusion knowledge a person should get. So with that we'll stop here today and we will continue in the next webinar. Actually next webinar I may have to cancel, so please look for the notice from court webinar for the cancellation of the next thing, because I will be traveling. I will not be able to give that lecture next week. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasamaheshwarah sri krishna arpanamastu narayana.